All is well. I just
job of getting notes down just before service there, just a little while ago, but just some thoughts that I'm just on my mind. St. John chapter 10, verse 10. This is Jesus speaking. You see that in red letter. He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Begin reading at verse 1, down through verse 5. Paul is speaking here. He says, "Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing there are that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, this is your word. We are so thankful for it, Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but these words that we have read tonight will never pass away. Lord, the purpose that you have spoken them will stand. The thing that you have promised that they will accomplish will stand. Lord, those who are beneficiaries of the things that you have spoken these for, that they will be the beneficiaries, and your purpose and all these things will stand. And so tonight, Lord, we ask, God, that you would allow us to, Lord, enter into thy word tonight, to enter into a place, Lord, where we can see your great plan, your program. And Lord, just may you open our eyes to more things, more glorious things of this hour, Lord, that we might know who we are. As your prophet has said, when we know who we are, then the rapture would go. And so we ask God tonight that you would grant to us, Lord, that we could sit in heavenly places. May your people that are gathered here, though few in number, may they pull, Lord, on your gift, pull you right down out of the heavens, Lord, right out of your word, Lord, and right into their hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I'm on title this tonight, "The Kingdom of God Restored." And you just pray for me and just ask the Lord to bless your heart with something that you would need to take home with tonight, and I'm sure He will. He'll give you a blessing. And so we find here in reading in the Scriptures that the Scriptures tell us there in Hebrews chapter 8 that Paul has been going in the book of the Hebrews there, and he's been talking about all the earthly priesthood and all the earthly tabernacle and all the things that the priesthood do here on the earth in the Old Testament. And he's speaking of that, and he gets to this point, and he says, "Now here's the sum of what I'm trying to tell you." He says that all this down here is just a natural type on earth of something that's in heaven. And because he said, because when Moses was about to make this tabernacle down here on earth, when he was ready to do that, he had went up on the mountain there. You read about it in the Old Testament, and you find out that when Moses went up on the mountain, that God came down and talked to him, and God gave him the plans and everything for the tabernacle and for all the instruments of worship and everything that was going to be going on, all the worship and all the thing that God put in place to make man be reconciled to God. All of that. When Moses was told to make it, God showed him the pattern of all that. And what God showed him the pattern was actually a pattern of something that was in heaven. And so we find out that God told Moses, "Now be sure, Moses, make sure that you make this exactly the way that I showed you in the mount. And Paul comes right here and says that all of this is just a natural type. It's a type or a shadow of heavenly things. And he said, so instead of, and I'm paraphrasing, but instead of the high priest entering into the holiest of holies here on earth, he said, Jesus Christ has entered into heaven. He's up there in that holy place of worship, where the presence of God is. Jesus has entered into that, and he's there to appear before us, and he's there to do all the things as high priest and all that sort of thing. And so I said all that to say that God has a program. God had a program in heaven, and we know the scriptures declare that. He had a heavenly order, a heavenly system. In other words, we know that Brother Branham brings it around and talks about it. He says, you know, that the word God just means the object of worship, an object of worship. So a person can worship their car if they want, and that can be their God. But we find out that God, before he made any angels or anything there, he's the only form of infinite, that he but was by himself, and we find out that he hadn't even made angels. And so he really wasn't a God because there was no one worshiping him. And so Brother Graham said he believed the first thing that God did was made angels. So he hadn't even made the universe that you and I know of, but he made angels. And those angels worshiped him. Those angels worshiped him, and you got to realize the angels, they didn't know sin. There was no such thing as sin. There wasn't a curse word. There wasn't an evil act of any sort. There wasn't smoking, drinking, cussing, being angry at one another. Those angels knew nothing of it. They were created holy, and holy being pertaining to God, because God is the one who's holy. And so they were in this place, this abode where God was. They were up there, and God had he had something up there that mimicked like what we would have down here, like the tabernacle in the wilderness, or like a church here. God had it there, and the angels were in a rank and file. There were some angels that were really high in authority, and there were some were lesser in authority, and they all had their places, and they all had the things that they were to do, whatever it was. It was because we don't know a whole lot about what it was, but we know that this down here is a type of that, so we know they had it because we had it, right? Everybody understand that? So somebody could say, well, how can you say that, Tony? It don't tell you that in the Bible, but it does, see? Because of the types and shadows. So we know that when the scripture said that Moses, make sure and make this down here like what you've seen, because this is a type of what's actually took place in heaven, then we know they had a system like that there. We know the scriptures let us know that there were cherubims and seraphims and all different types of angels. Some had different jobs. Some were messengers. Some, like wormwood, had power over the water. So they all had a different hierarchy and a different position, and maybe they had rank and file like we would have in our military. And so maybe they had 5-star generals or 4-star generals and 3-star generals and that sort of thing. And so there was a system in heaven and a heavenly order. And so there was no doubt angels that were close to God and some that weren't as close to him. And maybe perhaps that for others to come into the presence of God, they had to go through certain other angels or a certain approach. But in heaven, there was a great worship. And so Brother Brown said he believed that God made angels first, and then those angels worshiped him. And so he became God, but he had all these other attributes to be Savior and Healer and all that. And so even with angels, millions of them, great majestic angels in the presence of God, and some of them, that's all they did was go day and night, holy, holy, holy. And some of them had 6 wings, and they'd cover their feet and cover their face, and with 2 wings they would fly. So they'd fly with 2, cover their face with the other, and cover their feet with the other two. And they'd cry, holy, holy. And so they were angels that didn't know sin. They didn't know sin. They didn't know anything like you and I. And they, in the presence of God, worshiped God. They didn't hold back. They worshiped God. Because God deserves worship, obviously. And so they were like that. And there was a system in heaven that where God did those, had that in order like that. And we find out that Moses, when he was building things down here, it was a type of those things up there. And so angels being first and to worship him, and they knew no sin, And so they were just created that way to worship him, just because that's the way they were made. But he still had those attributes to be Savior and healer and all those things. And so after he made the angels, we figure out that at some point he made the universe that you and I know like we have now, and come right down, made the earth and made the inhabitants of the earth, and we cover a lot of time in saying that. But to bring it to the point that God had a plan, not just to create angels to worship him, because they didn't satisfy all his needs, but he actually had a plan to actually come on down and actually create a people who, through a plan of redemption, would need him in such a way that they would call for all these other attributes he had, to be a savior, to be a healer, to deliver them from their great enemies and all that. See, the angels couldn't unleash that out of God. But God had it in his mind that he was going to come down and actually create, have a creation that would call upon him and need him in that way, and that creation would actually be his sons and daughters. They would actually be the very gene of God. And so you find out that he came down here and created us, what for? For worship. To worship Almighty God. And God, I had someone tell me one time, he said, I don't think it'd be very much fun just sitting around all the time worshiping somebody, some being or something like that. And I thought to myself at the time, you don't know my God the way I do. And so we find out that someone could say in their own thinking, they could say, and this would be an intellectual thought or a thought that Satan would give them, they would stand and say, I think that's kind of... I don't know how to describe it, but you mean to tell me that God would just say, well, you either worship me or I'm going to destroy you? Because someone could say, well, it looks like it. As you go find, in the Old Testament, that he'd say to Israel, you keep my statutes and you follow my word, and I'll keep your enemies away from you, and I'll give you all the food that you need, and I'll keep you and sustain you, and you'll have a land, and you can raise your children, and you can live in happiness and joy if you obey my commandments. But if you do not, well, then I will let them enemies come and destroy you. And you'll be the tail and not the head. And you'll have to borrow money instead of lending money. And your store will not be blessed. And your basket will not be blessed if you don't keep my commandments. So someone could say, well, what kind of God is that? And only if you worship him can you be protected and saved. But you have to understand something, saints. There's only one who is life. One who is eternal life. There's no one else a source of life. Nowhere, anywhere. No angel, nobody is a source of life. And for God's great love that he has for us, knows that the only way that we can live is to live in his presence and to have life moving off of him onto us. But he's holy. So how can we live? The only way we can live is to be in his presence, but he can't have in his presence sinful, base people and things like that. And so you find out that when he says, keep my commandments and do all these things, what he's asking is abide in my plan so you can be in my presence, so my love can be expressed to you and I can cause you to live, because I'm the source of life. I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. But the thief, what does he come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So anything that you have that I want to give you that's pertaining to life, he wants to come and destroy those things, take those things away from you. But I am life. I'm here to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And so you find out that so when God wants us to worship him, it was for our good. When God tells us, do not do this, do not do that, it's not because he wants to be some great authoritative being in heaven. It's because he's giving us those rules and those guidelines for our protection. Not for his glory, but for our protection. And so you find out that these things happen, and God made the angels they worship, then he made humans to worship. And we find out that Lucifer was the highest authoritative angel in that kingdom we're talking about, before the fall. Lucifer was there, and Lucifer was had a tremendous position in heaven. He was considered, he was called in Scripture, Son of the Morning. And so mourning birthed him. So what does mourning birth? Mourning births the rising of the sun. So Lucifer, being son of the morning, he was actually the light bringer. Right? So you find out. So he had a tremendous position there. But the scripture says that he was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. And we find out that God made Lucifer in such a way, not to make him corrupt or anything like that. I mentioned this last weekend. He made Lucifer so that there was the ability for Lucifer to backslide, I guess you could say, or to fall away and to have iniquity in him, even though he wasn't made with iniquity. You could say, how can that be? Well, just real simple form. Look at a newborn child. Hey, we was, oh, how perfect. How wonderful. How beautiful. No iniquity whatsoever. Perfect. Ah, but they grow up. Where did this come from? This little lying, stealing, cheating little fella. Where did it come from? So you see, it comes from somewhere. And so we find out that Lucifer, at some point, a thought was conceived in his own mind that was contrary to the program of God. And so Lucifer came up with this thought. He thought that he could produce a better kingdom than what God had. So in that dimension, the kingdom of heaven is what we're talking about, the kingdom of heaven restored, or kingdom of God restored. In that dimension, where all this program was, where there was a worship and there was hierarchies and all the things that were going on in heaven, all centered around the King of heaven, and all that was going on, and all of a sudden, one great one among them who was the leader of them, just about next to God, conceived a thought in his mind that all this program here that's all out here in place where all these angels are worshiping God, Lucifer come up with the idea that he could do something better than that. And we find out actually that the scriptures tell us that he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to ascend to the sides of the north. There was a I don't know if I could call it a place or a position or whatever, but there was something about the sides of the north that Lucifer coveted and wanted. And so he was going to try and be like the Most High God and actually receive the worship that God was receiving. And in this, he wanted to create a different economy in heaven than what God had. And I'm getting somewhere with this. And so I probably haven't said anything you don't already know, but just to put it all in perspective for this thought tonight. So Lucifer thought he could make a better kingdom, more brighter, more glorious kingdom than God did. And so you find out that everything that God had set in order for Lucifer to go out and do his thing, and it to be a better or a different and a more brighter, what he thought seemingly more brighter community in heaven or whatever it might be, then he would have to set out to do something different. What he went to establish had to be different than what God had in place for his program. So everything that God established, Lucifer would have to go out and be different. God's economy and everything that was established was to keep people or keep the angels and eventually come down to earth, was to have those people in the presence of God that he could love them and his life could radiate to those, and he could have a family, be like me, wanting to have children, wanting to have a son, and I'd go to my wife and she would bear me a son and I'd pull my son up close to me and I'd want my son to have my name and carry my name, and I would want him to look like me and I'd want to teach him, and he would go forth and we would fellowship together as Father and as Son in a close relationship, in a close place, and he would be next to me. Well, it's kind of like that. God would want people like that, but Satan didn't like that. Lucifer did. And so Lucifer thought he'd do something better, and he'd have to go out and set out and do things differently. And all that God had in place was life, to bring that them people and then his sons and his daughters up and have them in his presence and to be a father, to be all those things. And so you find out if that was God's program, then if Satan went out to do something, what would it be? It would have to be something that would be contrary to what God had in place. And so it would have to be something that would draw the sons of God away from God it'd be something that would establish a worship away from God. Because we, you know, black and white. If it's not black, it's got to be white. If it's not white, it's got to be black. That sort of thing. So Lucifer had to set out to do something. So you find out that if in God's economy, what we're supposed to be down here, what it was up there, that if in God's economy, everything that God had was holy, holiness, then what would Satan have to go for?
Unholy.
Unholy. Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. If everything God had was life and health to those that it was in his presence, what was Satan doing?
Death.
It wouldn't be life. It'd be death. You see what I'm saying? So Satan had to be different, and if he can't be life, and he can't be life because if he's life, he's in God's program. So he defected from life into away from God's program into something else, and that something else was darkness. That something else was death, and it brought forth unholiness. Because God had holiness, that had to be unholiness. And so if God had things that were healthy, that would be unhealthy. If in God's program, a man was to be a gentleman to the ladies, what would Satan make man? Satan would make man a brute. That he would not be a gentleman. He would not treat a lady like a lady. He would be animalistic in his natures and want to ravage her or something like that. So you find out that he would change man from being a man into a brute. And if God had women that would be ladies and dress like ladies and be modest in their apparel, what would Satan do? He'd make them go out and dress ungodly. He'd make them go out and dress in a way to entice men to fall. Because it wouldn't be that way in God's economy. So Satan would have to do that. So this is what this other kingdom consists of. And so we find out that if God had a plan for a holy relationship between a man and woman called marriage, well, you find out that Satan would have to be different than that. Satan could not be the father of something he wasn't the father of. God is the father of holy matrimony. And how that a man and woman can approach each other in marriage and how they can come together in marriage under the gospel, under God, not under some, as Brother Branham said, half-drunk magistrate or some justice of the peace or something, not even a man that's preaching the gospel, and yet they give him the right to marry when really God said it should be done under the gospel, under the ministry of the word. And so you find out that if God established that, then what would Satan come along do? Satan would have to come along, and in his program, man and woman wouldn't live together in holy matrimony. In his program, they wouldn't approach marriage right. They probably wouldn't get married. They would live together and go through all those things without having a relationship under Almighty God with proper marriage, proper courtship, and all that. So you see where this kingdom that we see out here in the world, that's not the kingdom of heaven. That's another kingdom. That's the one that Lucifer sought out to create. That's what we see out there trying to influence our sons and our daughters and influence us. And so he would make their relationship unholy. Adultery, fornication, those kinds of things. If God wanted a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman, that there would be a distinct difference between man and woman, because there is a distinct difference. There's absolutely a distinct difference between man and woman. And God made us that way for a reason. Well, if God wanted us a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman, what would Satan do? He'd come along and make man sissy and make women start being more manly, and he'd cross the genders. Right? And would there be any life in that? Would there be any life in homosexuality? Would there be any life in lesbians? No. These people out here in the world that want to live that way, I may have said it, I don't know, but I'm all for it. And here, let me explain why. Take all the men that want to be that way and stick them on an island out in the middle of somewhere. Give them all the food they want. Give them doctors if they need, but just make sure there are no women on that island. And give them everything they need. Ship it to them month by month so they got all the medicine to live and all the food to live. And we'll come back 120 years from now and see if they had life. Do the same thing with the women. So you see, there's no life in that lifestyle. Why? Because that lifestyle didn't come from God's program, God's kingdom. That lifestyle come from something else, as we're showing you tonight. It's something Lucifer set in place. So you find out that if God set it in order, Lucifer's against it. So if God said, listen, you tie your left shoe first and then tie your right one, then Satan come along and figure out a way to tell you that you've got to tie your right one first and then your left one. Because everything God has, what God says is not just for his tickles. What God gives is to give life. And so when he says do something a certain way and don't do this and sisters don't dress provocatively or whatever, God's telling them that because when he says that, he's actually administering life into you if you'll listen to it. Right? But you turn around, if you go the other direction, it's death that's being ministered. So you find out that if God's got for it, then Satan's against it. So you find out here that in the scriptures that Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. While he was there, he was able to convince a whole bunch of the angels to follow him. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but the scripture tells us that there were elect angels. It actually says it. The elect angels. So apparently, up there, there were some angels who were elect. And there were some who were not. And the ones who were not got deceived by Satan and got cast to the earth when Satan got cast to the earth. Cast out, not to the earth necessarily, but he is to the earth, but not strictly there. But he got cast out, and they got cast out, but the elect angels stayed there and are still in the presence of God, worshiping God. The elect angels did not leave their first estate, whereas those other ones did. And so he got kicked out, and I think that we could safely say here, though I haven't done a study on this full out, but you know, when there is a change of status with man, there is also a change of name, right? There's a change of name when man gets a change of status. There's a change of the church of God to become the bride of Christ. She gets a name change. And so we find out that Lucifer is now known as Satan. He was Lucifer there, but now he's known as Satan. He's also known as the devil or the dragon, or there's all kinds of different names that the Bible gives him. So we find out that no doubt Lucifer's status was changed. Well, we can see that as a pattern through the scriptures, that you get a name change, and we see, then we know that when the Bible declares him now as Satan, there was a status change. He lost his estate. And so there was a position and things he had that he no longer has. And so we find that to be the case. Now, well, you remember that Satan is not a creator. He was a God's right-hand man. He was equal with God in all kinds of stuff, but there's one thing he could not do, and that is to create. He could not create, and so he is not a creator, but he is a perverter. So he takes what God puts in place, and he perverts it. So if God has good holy marriages, he perverts it, and it's not holy marriages. If God puts in place good healthy food that will grow out of the ground, then his program is not good healthy food. It's something else that he thinks is better. And we call it hybrid. He thinks it's better because it's going to satisfy his program to make more money or whatever it is. So it's his program. He thinks it's better because he thought he could build a better kingdom. He thinks that living together is better than marriage. The governments think that. They give you a better tax break when you live together but not married. They think it's a better program. Where does the government, where do all these laws come from? Where does all this system come from? It comes from Lucifer. Because it's what he set in place. But he's not a creator, he's a perverter. So he perverts these things. That's why Brother Branham said, did you know? And I don't know what the sisters think about this. There's not a whole lot of them here tonight. But do you know, Brother Branham said that hybrid food has caused the women to become broader at their shoulders and narrower at their hips and for the men to become narrower at their shoulders and broader at their hips. The absolute opposite of what it should be. And he said hybrid food has caused that. Now, you take it up with him. I don't believe he would have said that if he hadn't seen something there. But to find out that it's not supposed to be that way. And so the farther we live in Satan's kingdom, the more like his way we look and we act if we don't have God in our life. And so you see, man, his system, his government, his food he grows, all this stuff's going where there's death in everything. There's death in every program. There's death in just about anything they grow. There's death in any system out there because they've gone so far from God and they're getting further and further into the effects of Satan upon it that that's just the way it is because Satan is a perverter. And so if you take anything out here that's perverted, if you want to take that and make that and go back to life with it, the only thing you could do is to take it back to its original form. That's the only way you could do it. Get back to that original truth that created it. Get back to that original kingdom that God had established in the first place. And so Lucifer was kicked out and given a different name. We call him a different name now. And he is a perverter of what God put in place. Now we find out that people on earth get anointed with those spirits. People on earth, actually, those angels come down and they are now what we know as demons, demon spirits. They get on people. They cause people to be anointed. And you find out that in heaven, those angels had that different status as some were greater in power and had different things. And all that structure, when those angels got cast out, that structure went with it. So even in the underworld, as demons, there is a hierarchy. There is some that's got greater power than others. And they all have their duties. Some of them have been sent forth to be cancer. Some of them have been sent forth to be the spirit of alcoholism. And some to go forth as the spirit of lust. And all these different ones. They all have their different categories. Some can actually make a physical manifestation in a tumor or a growth of something like that. To be a life that gets in the cells of your body. And instead of your life in that cell creating more of you, it hijacks that cell. Puts your life to the side, and now that's another life takes over the physical cells in your body and begins to make cells from that to create a body of its own, and we call it cancer. My wife had an article years ago in Reader's Digest that some tumors have hair and teeth. Right? Why? Well, let me ask you something. Those cells that's in that person's body was all that person. Say it was Uncle Joe. Well, all of Uncle Joe was Uncle Joe. And all of a sudden, one day, now Joe's got something growing inside of him. It looks like a cancer. Looks like a crab. Got hair and teeth. Well, that's not Uncle Joe that's in there. What caused that? What caused that was a demon spirit, another life that got in there and anointed that. One that has power to do that perversion. So he perverts the cell. So instead of them creating this cell and this cell, it's Uncle Joe, Uncle Joe, Uncle Joe. It perverts them, and now it begins to create something different, another direction. So it's perverted. That's why when Brother Branham would come, and the doctors would have looked at a person, and they could not do anything to find out what was wrong with the person. The doctors sometimes come into prayer line with the people. And couldn't do nothing about it. But Brother Branham, you'd hear him in prayer, and he'd say, "You might have hid from the doctors, Satan. But you're not hiding from God." And so, what would Brother Branham do? The doctors try to deal with the cells that are perverted, but Brother Branham, by that gift of God and the Holy Ghost, would deal with the life that was causing the perversion. Take that life that was causing the perversion out. The perversion dies. Person goes back to being who they were and being healthy again. So, what we find out here is that if we want to get back to what God has established, and have life, to get away from sickness, to get away from death, to get away from sorrow and all the adultery and all that, the only way away from that perversion is to get those demons that cause that perversion out of us and off of us, get us back to God and let the life of God be in us, then we won't have those perversions anymore. And so if that's what happens, then this other kingdom, the kingdom of the devil, or if you want to call it that, that it has so much preeminence in our life, if we get back to God, then we get restored back to the kingdom of God, then we'll have health, happiness, joy, proper marriages, and everything else God said we could have. And that's the only way to have it, is to come back to the Holy Ghost in us, bringing those things to pass. So those evil spirits come down, and they have their domains, and they come down and they get into people, and they're assigned to do these different things. But all of those were cast out. All of those were cast out of that glorious kingdom. And the scripture said they are reserved under chains. They are reserved in chains under darkness. So you find out that not only was that glorious kingdom up there of God wonderful and life, it was light. And that these have now been cast out into a lower dimension, a kingdom of darkness. And when nobody wants to live in darkness, and you stumble and fall off a cliff or something. And so common sense tells us we want the kingdom of light. We don't want pain and sorrow and death. We want life. We want it more abundantly. But you find out, where does that come from? It comes from the kingdom of God. And where does all this other stuff come from? It comes from the kingdom of Lucifer that he established. And so, you know, the scripture said we'll be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? And so God's people will be seeking out peace. God's people will be seeking that kingdom of light where all these things are restored. Anybody that's a Christian wants restored in other people's lives, life, health, happiness, no pain, no sorrow. That's what a Christian's all about, to share the gospel that everyone can have that same thing. But when Christians will sit around and nitpick one another, and they're not peacemakers, they're constantly bickering and picking and fighting with one another. When you see that happening, you know that influence does not come from God. God does not cause people to sit around and pick at one another and pick people apart. So it's just, you know, so I say all these things because it's like Brother Graham said, we need to know our enemy. And I'll say it in my own words, we need to know our enemy. We need to know where he come from, why he's the way he is, and how to defeat him on his ground or any other ground, because that's what we need to do. And God has given us the ability to defeat that enemy on his ground. And so we're talking about the kingdom of heaven being restored. There are all those evil spirits that do all those things. They are reserved in chains of darkness. They can't return back to that light. They are bound with chains in that dimension, in that field, in that state that they're in. They're bound there, and they can't be anything but that. They can never, the devils cannot come to you and say, let me anoint you to tell the truth. Let me anoint you to enter into marriage properly. Let me anoint you to honor your father and your mother. Let me anoint you to pray for your pastor. Pray for your church. Pray for one another. Let me anoint you to say kind words to your family members when they... Satan can't do that. Those spirits cannot do that. Because that comes from another source. And Satan would be casting out Satan to turn around and undo what his own program is. So you understand. I'm saying this so that we would daily go, huh, why am I acting the way I am right now? Why did I just do what I did to this brother or sister of mine? Why did I fly off the handle of them? So we might ask ourselves, wait a minute, what kingdom was I just influenced by? Because Brother Brown told us, we were either influenced from above or from beneath. And if you just get influenced by something evil for a moment, doesn't mean you're a lost person. It just means you need to get back on track and ask God, you know, make that right with whoever, whatever it was, get back on track and seek God for further instructions on how to ward off those attacks from an enemy like that. And so they're under chains of darkness, and they can't tell you something right. They can't lead you in the right thing. I know they are deceptive. I understand that. And so they come in, sneak in unawares, and try to get you off into something. But God here is here, and the Holy Spirit is here to say, wait a minute, stop that. You heard the preacher preach about that. Don't you give in to that. And the minute you go ahead and say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to the preacher. I'm going to go ahead and entertain this spirit. I'm going to go ahead and let it influence me. You give that spirit the right to come into your home and bind you. I'm talking about in your spiritual home. And bind you and take you in the direction to make you what he wants you to be. So here's all these people, you know, the cells in the human body, those cells, millions of them, each one with their own calling to be what they are, and they all together represent a beautiful being. And Satan will get in there and anoint some of them cells, and it creates a death into that body. It's the same way it is in God's family, in the church, in your family, in all of His bride movement. Satan would love to get in there and poison some of the members until they begin to mutate into something different than a holy church, into something different than a people who follow the Word, into something different that has death in it. But through subtlety, sneaky. He'll never come and say, anoint them people, and they all of a sudden stand up one day in the church and say, we're going to just split the thing wide open and cause the church to go away and the pastor to quit preaching and all that. Satan's not going to anoint people to do that. He's not going to come in and anoint your children to stand up and say, I defy my parents today. He's not going to do that. It's through subtle little steps. I can't step from here all the way back there, but I can take 1,000 little steps and probably do it so low while I talk that you might not even notice that I'm moving. But yeah, I am. And that's the way Satan is. And so all these things I've said to say this. So what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the restoration of all these things that we were talking about that come from the kingdom of light. When Satan got cast to this earth and caused the fall, now this is his domain down here where he causes all these wars and all these battles. He causes sickness, death, sorrow, and all this stuff going on. But the kingdom of heaven is to come. The kingdom of heaven is to come and start putting a stop to all those things. Didn't Jesus say that when they said you cast out devils or you heal or whatever by Beelzebub or whatever, and I may not be quoting it just exactly the way he said it, but didn't he say if I cast them out by devils, I cast out the devils by the spirit of the devil or Beelzebub, then who do you do it by? And he goes on, he said, but if I do it and it comes from God, then the kingdom, and I'm not quoting exactly what it is, but the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. You read that. So Jesus saying, but if I'm doing it the way it's of God's program, and now these things from that dimension of God is manifesting here, then that kingdom has come nigh. It's here now. It's here for a purpose. And it's that kingdom that's going to grow into all this earth and take it back over from Satan. And so, the kingdom of heaven is the restoration of all those things. And it is in the realm of the spoken word where this stuff takes place. It's in the realm of the spoken word because Satan is not a creator. Satan cannot speak and create, but God can. And so if Satan was God's right-hand man, and if Satan was equal with God in everything except creation, then I would say that the way God pulls the wool over Satan's eyes, the way that God defeats Satan, the way that God brings total, complete liberty to you and I and reestablishes that kingdom of heaven on this earth, the way God does it is through the spoken word. Exactly, through the spoken word. And so, what should we have our focus on? Should we have our focus on other things and other writings and other talks and all that? Or should we focus on the spoken word? Because that's why God has revealed to us. That's why God has brought back to us this day the spoken word of God. Because we are entering that cycle where God is bringing restoration to all those things. And He is going to finish up this, complete this change of us and rapturing us through the spoken word. So the spoken word becomes our weapon. It becomes the very thing that we can destroy our enemy with. It becomes the spoken word becomes a vehicle that we can get into, and it takes us up into a realm that Satan cannot deal with us anymore. Satan can no longer attack us when we are hid behind the word. He can't get through the word. So the spoken word becomes our weapon. It becomes our vehicle. It becomes our life. It's the very thing that we're going to step inside of, and it's going to take us into a body change. It's the spoken word. So should I spend my time doing elsewise? Or should I spend my time making sure then I'm ready to step into that vehicle when it's time. I think that we should spend our time in the spoken word and not other things. And I realize we have secular things we need to do every day. We have to go to work and all that's not what I'm talking about. But there are, in our free time, when we're not working, we're not asleep, in our free time, what we should be doing is making sure that we're not involved in something that is part of that fallen kingdom. That if it's that fallen kingdom, if we're interacting with the world, and we get on the internet, and we start to do something, and we encounter something from that other dimension, to get away from it. Shut that door. And keep ourselves godly. Keep our homes godly. Keep the environment in our homes godly. Put out anything that doesn't resemble God, that doesn't resemble that kingdom. And if you don't know how to put it out, ask God to help you. He'll do it. He'll help you put it out. And so we find out that all of our victory today, it's been this way all along, but it's been identified today, it is the spoken word that was the original seed. The spoken word is what created that original holy environment that had all the life in it that was perfect. It was the spoken word that was the original seed. And all that to come afterwards a perversion. And so we've got to go back to the spoken word. And that's why God delivered to us in this last day the spoken word. That's why this is titled the spoken word. Because it's this day ministry that broke into the realm of human lips speaking the word of God and God creating and forming things and doing things by the spoken word of man. Not the spoken word of man, but the word of God spoken through the lips of man who are following him. And so that's why God brought to us. So you see, the kingdom of God is being restored. The kingdom of God is bringing back to us all those things that he said we can have, and we'll have them. We will have them. Not because we're great. You know, somebody told me the other day, he said, I just don't deserve the goodness of God and all the things he's done for me. I said, sure, you don't deserve it. I said, but you know why it's there? Because of God's election. There was elect angels that stayed with God, and there were some who weren't, and they didn't. There are elect people, because that come to here and repeat down here. There's elect people who will not fall away, and there are those who will fall away. There are those who were brought up in an estate, and they fall from that estate. And that's exactly what the angels did. And so it is a fearful thing to know God than to walk away from him. Right? And the scriptures say that. It's a fearful thing to know God. It's a bad thing for us to know him and then to walk away from him. It's to know the right and wrong and walk away from it. But God is a God of repentance. God is a God of restoration. And if you have a desire in your heart at all for God, then it's not too late for you. Because if it was too late, you wouldn't have a desire for God at all. So let me exhort you at this point in time, as we get ready to close, that you seek after the kingdom of heaven. No doubt God has brought it to us. No doubt that we're beginning to step and interact into it more. And I will say this, if the deep, a deep call into the deep, Brother Branham said it this way, that we could not desire for the deep. Something out there we couldn't desire for unless it existed for us. If you say, I have a craving for an ice cream cone, you couldn't do that if there was no such thing as an ice cream cone. And if we have a desire, like that eagle I was talking about on the weekend, that mama eagle knows that baby's got to come out of there. And you know, there's a something in that little eagle that wants to be like mom and dad, but was afraid to get out there. But that little eagle looks at his papa, mama eagle, and looks at those big wings and looks at it flying, and it wants to be that way. A boy wants to be like his dad. A girl wants to be like mom. And you understand what I'm saying? And it's like that. And so a child of God wants the kingdom of heaven. And so seek after those things. Seek after and let that deep within you call for that deep. Remember I said Sunday that that God will never require it of you if he doesn't minister it to you, and he will minister to you the very thing he wants you to desire. Then you turn around and minister that back to him in prayer and in worship, and he'll then turn around and give back to you that very thing that, that you're calling for that he put in there in the first place. Scripture said he'll give you the desires of your heart. So he places within you a desire to leave this world. He places within us a desire not to be part of this world. And then when we express back to him, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord Jesus, this place is becoming very quickly uninhabitable for us as your believers because everything is closing in. You minister back to him. You're pulling on the strings of his heart for him to come forth and actually fulfill that very thing because he put that desire in you in the first place. And so don't seek after these other things. If it's not working, if you see death in it, if you see argument in it, you see disgruntlement in it, and nobody's happy and nobody's doing right, stay away from it and seek after the kingdom of heaven. It's being restored. And it will be restored to those who follow after it. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blessings this night. We believe the truths. These things we've spoken tonight to be truth, Lord. And we ask, God, that you give us the mercy that we need, Lord, to take these things into our heart. And Lord, cause it to make sense to us in our spiritual man. Down inside our soul, may it give us strength, Lord. Say no to this world. And like we spoke this Sunday, Lord, this past Sunday, that we be like Enoch and walk, and though we'll have to walk in this world, and this world wants to make our garments spotted, Lord, you said that we would be a people that would be without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And Lord, if you said that we would be that way, then you have to provide that. That means that, Lord, you have to provide us a way of being clean in this world today, though we walk in such wickedness. So, Lord, I know that it's possible for us to be clean and unspotted from this world in this hour, because you would not require it of us. You would not call for it and not give us the ability to do it. So I pray, God, that you would help us to be anointed by your Spirit, Lord, to recognize and see that the failures in these areas, it's not you, Lord, it's in us, Lord, and show us how to follow after your word and submit and say no to these things that spot us daily. Keep us clean, Lord. Allow us to become clean and allow us, Lord, as we make mistakes, to be washed each day to stay in your presence because we want to live, Lord. And you said that you would bring life to us and bring it more abundantly, and we want that life, Lord. But we realize that life would call for us to be holy, and we want to be a holy people, Lord. We don't want to be like the world, though we have to rub shoulders with the world. We want to be like you, and we want to be salty, Lord. We want other people to look at us and want a relationship with you, Lord, that you might touch them also. We ask, God, that you help us in these things. We commit all of this into thy hands, and thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house tonight, and we thank you for allowing us to be in the midst of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope you wasn't bored. Makes a lot of difference when there's just a few here, but I want to serve God anyway. I'm